turn this thing?
Maybe twist it. Okay, lovely. Okay, well, this is something that I did last year. Last year we had something called the Year of the Altogether
Congregation.
Learning Guidance and Organization based on Growing Congregation. We just found that we had a lot of people who, they kind of had a sense of belonging, but their sense of belonging was that they all came to the temple. So on a Sunday we had 1,200 people coming to the temple. And it's kind of a nice thing to have, but it's chaos. And so we had to think, well, is there a better way of doing this? So we wanted to do a bit more organization, but we also wanted to be able to offer guidance, which was to increase the possibility of one-to-one mentorship, counselor-type relationships with people. But we also wanted to increase people's education. So education, guidance, and organizing people into groups. So, okay, next one. So my first question to members of Active Vedanta Manor was, are we drifting? And here's a nice image of a ship. And I said, every organization needs to check to see. Anyway, you can read it. They say, when you do a PowerPoint, you should never read what's up on the screen. Why are you doing that? Because the part of the brain that needs to listen and the part of the brain that needs to read is two different parts, and people get confused. So read it. And then say, finish. Okay, next one. Another ship. These are concentrated nuggets of wisdom, so you have to. You know what? I'm going to switch this off. Sorry, Benjamin. You don't understand. So, an organization, this is how most organizations kind of fail. The organization starts off knowing what it wants to do, then it raises funds to do that thing. Then what it does from then on is just carry on raising funds. And then kind of loses track of what it was originally meant to do. So then, let's go back and find out what ISKCON's purposes are. So here's what Prabhupada says, of course. We read them this morning. Confirmation again. To propagate spiritual knowledge, but to do it, what's the word? Systematically. Systematically means a logical progression, one after the other. Next one. Here's that word again. Propagate. Here's that, those seeds. Those seeds going out, hitting the ground. You're propagating. Propagate really means to take something that's growing from one place and to plant it in another place. So propagate. Next one. Now Prabhupada starts talking about bringing the members of the society together. So you've got some propagation going on. Let's bring people together. What for? Why? Next one. Yeah. There we are. Teach and encourage the sanctified mission. Next one. To publish and distribute periodicals and books. Next one. Now, these are the three things I said we have to do. We have to create ISKCON, or create ISKCON Tokyo, or ISKCON Shanghai, or ISKCON
Taiwan.
And then we've got to sustain it, and then we've got to share it. Now, if you took everything else away, Temple of Vedic Planetarium, took away Uvrindava, if you took away everything that's extraneous, I won't say these things are extraneous, but if you took everything, ISKCON is living in Krishna consciousness and giving it to others. Living it and... Okay, give me some encouragement. Living it and...
Giving it!
Yeah. Okay. So, sharing Krishna consciousness means not just, you know, beginning it for them, but to guide them so they grow in devotion along those stages that we talked about. Next one. This one is a very wordy one, actually. What do people need from a spiritual movement like ours? I'm reading a PowerPoint again. I can't believe it. You read it. And you'll be rewarded. Okay? I'll finish then. Do you know how many books we have? At a guess? How many books does that man have in that shop over there? Give me an estimate. How many different books? Not copies of the same book, but different books. Oh? 2,000? I don't know. No, I'm asking. It's huge, isn't it? But, you could go in there and you would be puzzled as to what you really wanted to read first. I mean, I know if I want to, for instance, in the Catholic Church, how do I become a Catholic? They say, oh, okay, pick that out for me, the RCIA, this is how you go there. How do I be a devotee? Well, we've got kind of 2,000 books that tell you how to. People need a clear path, otherwise there's a lot of confusion. And a systematic way of learning, and something to help them, something to deliver it to them, and a network of friends on the journey. Next one. Here's what happens. This is any organization anywhere. It's called the membership pyramid. People start here. So what's Hare Krishna all about then? That's interesting. Yeah, I think I'll go to the temple. Yeah, it's really nice. I think I'll read a bit more. Oh, yeah, chanting. Yeah, I'll take that up. Yeah, it's kind of nice actually, chanting, isn't it? Chanting, offering my food, being a vegetarian. That's very good. I think I have a few friends who could come around to my house and we could have a Hare Krishna party. Yeah, actually, we've started doing that every week now, having a Hare Krishna get-together. It's quite fun. Okay. Yeah, they asked me to sit on the temple council, so that I could help them with the students. See? The person's involvement is going up, but the engagement is coming down from the top. So we need an ISKCON where the passive members are becoming active members and then getting involved in things, and where the top echelon of ISKCON are always reaching out and bringing in curious people to become passive members. I don't mean people who look curious, I just mean people with curiosity. But without clarity, fellowship, guidance, and organization, the passive members increase and can't easily rise to become active. But what happens here, instead of having a great pyramid of Cheops at Giza, what you have is these passive members start getting, so you start with a pyramid like that, that's ideal, but it goes like that, like that, like that, like that, like that, like that, until you have so many passive members that are not empowered to do anything, that are not educated to do anything, that are not guided to do anything, and just have no clarity. And that, my dear friends, is Hinduism. People really not moving forward. But Hare Krishna is the religion. Next one. Clear path. Okay. Next one. I can download all these for you. First thing people need is just to get the bearings, just to catch their wind. It's kind of weird walking into a Christian temple. All sorts of things are going on. You've got some dolls up on the altar. You've got a guy with a feather, waving it around. You've got incense. You've got bells. You've got someone blowing into a shell, for God's sake. What's that all going on? And you've got a guy wearing a dress, and then the women cover their heads, and the guys uncover their heads by shaving all their hair off. And then everybody's got paint on their face. People need some time to just, what's all this about? Next one. Yeah. They need at least one person who's going to make it sort of sense. And people come to us with
minds, they come to us, they already believe something.
Yeah.
I'm a Buddhist, or I'm a Catholic, or I already do yoga. You know, how can you connect Krishna consciousness with what I already know to be true? You know, fill me in. Fill the gaps. Next one.
There you go.
This is what we do already. You're in a residential course. How many of you, before you came to Krishna Consciousness, looked at a website for Krishna Consciousness? Anybody? Nobody. Interesting. How many of you got personal tuition? Climbing. What's happening? That someone spoke to you and taught you how to chant, taught you how to say Imam Om Vishnu Padaya, such like that. So you did, you got that. So a lot of these things we're doing, and some of them we're not, and you've got to see how people learn things and how they get involved. Okay, next one. This is what we normally do. Some wonderful donuts, sugary, tasty, deep-fried donuts. And that's really what we give people sometimes. We give them too much philosophy, too soon. And it's just like you turn what should be a philosophical snack into a feast. So they guzzle themselves. And people can't, you know. You ever been in one of those conversations where someone tries to tell you, they try to download the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam all in 5 minutes? You know, Lord Brahma and Vishnu and Narayan and Krishna and Ram and Buddha and then Prabhupada and Whitvix and chanting Hare Krishna and Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Chankazi. And then there's Jagannath and then we do Rath Yatra. Too much. So let's have a look at perhaps a suggestion of how we can have a logical progression through a series of ideas. Okay. There you are, 6 introductory subjects. And it acts like a ladder. You would never ask a person, just as you wouldn't ask that poor dolphin that's being made to jump through a hoop to get his fish, you'd never ask a person to climb up onto this rung of the ladder before you ask him to climb on this rung. That's not how you go up a ladder. So you go up a series of ideas, all of which should make logical sense and all of which should be connected to the one previously. Let's see what they are. Okay, we talked about this, didn't we? Spiritual search. Now, I do this in the form of 6 conversations, 6 lectures.
When you run the risk that somebody misunderstands certain things you don't explain?
Which? On this?
No, the previous one. So if you're explaining somebody a certain concept.
Yeah.
And then it's easy to elaborate, like, because there are so many concepts when you're explaining it. It's easy to elaborate on each point because you want to get full understanding.
Yeah, it's easy to do. My point is that sometimes we give people too much, or sometimes you give them too little, because you don't know who's told them what. So it's very important for you to... It's very important for one person to be in charge of that person's spiritual journey, the new devotee's spiritual journey. So they may find that they're in different conversations and different people, but they can come back to you and you can sort of check what other people have told them. And you have a little checklist because there's some fundamental concepts, and if they don't get those fundamental concepts, there's no way of knowing whether they will ever hear them because they're zigzagging in between you and 6 other people. So you don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know really if a person's learned, for instance, that Krishna comes down to this world and that when he comes to this world,
He's not incarnated into a body, but Krishna is his body. For instance, philosophical concept, but people may not understand that. Okay. Anyway, so we present this as a series of 6 talks. I've got another one starting on the 31st of March in a town 20 miles away from Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we advertise, we put up some posters, we put up some flyers. Devotees go out on book distribution, we do Harinam, and we invite people to the talk. We get 20 or 30 people come to the talk. And we have one before that just, we talk about general spirituality, and then we say, how many of you would like to come back for a series of 6 talks? And then, you know, say 2/3 of the people decide that they'd like a series of 6 talks, and then this is what we do. So we start off with the fact that we're all searching, we're all on the journey, but we've got 4 defects. Go through them. There's methods of gathering knowledge. How about this, hypothetically? That there's a source of wisdom that goes beyond the senses, and it's called the Vedas. And the Vedas have a great effect on the West. And here's all the different people who've read different parts of the Vedas. So you just start them, you shift away from sense perception and from them having to understand everything before they believe it, to just a source of information that, you know, let's take it hypothetically, that may go beyond the senses. Next one. So what does the source of information talk about? Well, then we talk about Greek philosophers, Roman philosophers, different religions, and we talk about the nature of the self and temporary designations, you know, your body, what is the body, labels, identity, political identity, all these different things, scientific view of nature of consciousness, what other people have said about it, and really what we're trying to do with all this stuff is to find happiness, sustainable happiness. Next one. Then from that, you can easily go on a springboard when you've talked about the soul and how the soul is different from the body. Then when death takes place, the body may disintegrate, but the soul doesn't. So the soul moves on. And hey, how about this as a concept, folks? That before the body came into existence at conception, the soul was already existing. So the soul just passes through the body. The body is wrapped around the soul. But it's the soul that's the real thing. And it gets people thinking. We're on a journey. We have quotes about reincarnation from Buddhism, from the Bible, from different prophets, Muslim mystics. They all talk about reincarnation. Find the quotes and people will go, "Oh, you guys have studied every other religion and you've decided on Krishna consciousness. That's pretty cool. You know, you haven't just, you're not blinkered like this. You know more than me about the other religions. And you've decided on this one." Next one. Of course, then karma. Karma is the mechanics behind how people and why people get a particular body. Then from then, you talk about, okay, so we're trapped in a body. What are we going to do about it? How can you get back to where you once belong? It's yoga. And how do you do yoga? Which means to link. You do meditation. And then finally, we talk about mantra meditation. Next one. Then I usually broaden out again and say, look, this is not a sectarian way. We're just talking about universal principles of spiritual life. Not religion. Universal principles of spiritual life. And you'll find this in St. Francis of Assisi. You'll find it in Jesus. You'll find it in Russian pilgrims. You'll find it all over the world. People, no one will disagree with these universal principles that we're going to tell you about now. Cleanliness, truth, austerity, and mercy. So we tell people. Then we talk about yama and niyama. Yama and niyama is a system of, you know, 5 things you do, 5 things you don't do, or 10 things you do, 10 things you don't do. It makes up into 20 principles for life, and people go, that's what you live by. We say, yeah, it's pretty good. And we repeat that again for devotees who've taken to, made a commitment for 4 rounds. We say, you must do, you must be moral. That's the list. Because if you don't, it leads to social problems. And just pick up the newspaper and you will find that most of the bad news is caused by people who don't follow standard principles of spiritual life. And the next. Okay, here he is, look. He's going through the shell. The world's not medieval one. Nature of God. This is where it gets a bit dodgy. Nobody in Western Europe really believes in God the way we do. They just don't. They can't. We've had 300 years of people in, you know, kind of scientific purgatory. You really have to start with understanding the self. Then you understand the self as a part of the supreme self. And then you move and you go into the unmoved mover. You sort of talk about Brahman and you get everybody's head nodding. Then you talk about Paramatma. Then you can talk about, you know, the energies of God. And then you can talk just a little bit, please. Not too much. And please don't talk about Krishna, the divine flute player standing on the bank of the Yamuna with his cow, waiting for Radharani to come and meet him in the moonlight. You will have lost them. Totally, utterly, 100%, you will have lost them. It's something we do a lot in our movement, lose people. Our movement is much more elevated in the way we talk about Krishna from the Bhagavatam seat than we ever used to be. We used to talk mainly Vedanta. Why? Because Prabhupada talked mainly Vedanta. You ever hear a class of Prabhupada talking about Krishna blowing his flute in the moonlight waiting for Radharani to come? Some. But mainly, Prabhupada talks Sambandha Gyan, the relationships between the soul, matter, time, space, Ishwara, Paramatma. He talks about these things and he talks about how to practice it. But really, you don't get too much Krishna Leela. You get it written down in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or written down in the Krishna book. And then it may come out during readings, but it's not something that really we extend as being part of the first rungs on the ladder that we want you to absorb in the early stages of your spiritual life. Otherwise people just go, I don't get this. It was alright until we started on the Krishna stuff, but I can't, you know, can't process it. So, next one. Can't read it. Anybody read it? Anybody speak Hindi? What does it say? We found actually that after these six themes, people like to get into, well, what's the main text that you've got? And the main text is Bhagavad Gita. The main text is Bhagavad Gita. So there are variously ways that you can choose different verses from the Gita to highlight the main themes. There are variously 12 themes in the Gita, or 15 themes, or 16 themes, depending on how many themes you want to pull out. So let's just have a look what they are. This is a different way that you can, once you've got people interested, there we are, you see, he's got people interested, traditional Gurukula. They can pre-read, you give them a list, it works out to 150 verses. Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses, you give them 150 to read, and they're all themed. Then when they've got these themes, they can enter into the understanding of the Bhagavad Gita without it all seeming higgledy-piggledy. Because a lot of what Krishna says is in different places. But if you pull it all together and you find Krishna speaking about the same subject, you know, for 10 or 12 or 15 verses, then you actually get a little concise presentation of that theme. So they can read those sections, or they can read aloud, they can do it through email, and also prepare 150 verses split into themes as a study guide. So let's see what they are. The obvious one. Gardening. Is that a theme of the Bhagavad Gita? Gardening? Oh, the soul and transmigration. Isn't that beautiful? Cosmic in and of itself, isn't it? And the next. And you can go through the very might call our catechism. In other words, the first was six conversations, or six presentations, or six classes. The second was, maybe a series of themed studies of the Bhagavad Gita for a group that comes out of the six subject, initial presentations. So altogether, then, we've got, what have we got? We've got 6 weeks. We've got another 15 weeks. We sort of like half a year. Half a year has gone by. And really, we wanted something that's going to be, when a person has done this, you know that they're ready for making a commitment. The whole idea of catechism, as David will tell us, is that, you're learning everything that the Catholic Church wants you to know, really. You're learning the basics, I've got a book at home. It's called 100 Things You Should Know About the Catholic Faith.
It's a book,
yeah. Huh?
It's a book.
Yeah, it's a book. Why, you got it?
We used to go through it.
Yeah. So it's just like things you should know. Now, if we had one that said 100 Things You Should Know About Krishna Consciousness. Now, years ago, here we are, there were Krishna Kshetra, Satchinandan Swami, Shonaka Rishi, Akundadi, Bhagavatashraya, various other devotees at the time, best brains. They took all the points that Prabhupada made, then divided it into three sections. First section was philosophy, which is knowledge. It means, what do you guys believe in? What do I believe? What do I believe to be true? What is reality? Practice. That was acquiring skills. How do I do it? How do I put it into practice? How do I chant? How do I read? How do I do puja? How do I offer my food? Finally, culture. This is values. What do I hold to be important? And why? Why is that? So what, how, and why? And these are the three books. I think you may have seen them over here. They are Vaishnav Philosophy and Theology, Vaishnav Culture, and Vaishnav Practice. And the next, please. And then, while we're doing that, we're bringing people to workshops. So they do a cooking workshop, meditation workshop, deity worship workshop. They're coming together for different activities. So you know that people will know how to do Achman. Know how to put on tilak, do various things like that. There we go. And they should have an experience of Harinam. Now, the reason is that you may only have six people coming to your temple, but what happens is that, one time I have been going, along with other preachers, to a particular group for about 2 years, and we just discovered that one lady there didn't actually really understand about Krishna. Because every single preacher for the past 2 years that had gone to that group had sort of said things like, well, you're not your body, your spirit, soul, and it's yoga, it's meditation, and trying to understand Krishna's. But she, at no point in 2 years, had she heard, there is a spiritual world. You can go there. It is Vaikuntha. It's a place of no anxiety. You, the spirit soul, have come from Vaikuntha. Krishna consciousness is a process of going back there. She had not heard that. Why? Because nobody was ticking off the subjects that group was actually being presented with. It wasn't systematic at all. It was just, one Bhagavad Gita class after the other, which is what we do in the temple. For when people are, resident there. And it's okay if you're resident for a long time, but if you dip into a Hare Krishna group and you dip out 6 weeks later, then the only thing that you ever learn is not the thing that will really trigger you to make a commitment to the next level, then, we've lost that person, and that person's lost us. What comes next? I've forgotten. Aha! Don't forget Krishna. Krishna book readings now, every night, just for 15 minutes, online, and people can tune in on their computer, wherever they are. It's called ISKCON Life, ISKCONLife.com. We do a Bhagavatam class in the morning, and the Krishna book reading in the evening. And you get 30 or 40 people in there, which is kind of nice. It's not like Krishna.com. And who else don't we forget? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is important for us because we have a lot of Indian people in the UK who know a lot about Krishna and who like Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a bit of a mystery. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Krishna that makes the Hare Krishna movement move. And therefore, we can't allow people to go for a couple of years without understanding who he is. Next we come on to... Are we okay? Anybody, are you all right? Any questions of what we've just been? Now, an equally important part, but a part that we reluctantly take because it involves being a kind of teacher and we consider ourselves to be perpetually students, is to be somebody's spiritual guide. But one thing I would like to say is that if you don't personally take responsibility for someone's spiritual life, it may be that no one else will. And if no one else is taking personal responsibility, then that person's not moving forward. It's a sacred duty, but you'd be surprised how many orphans we have in our movement, with no fathers and no mothers. In other words, they've got a book on the street, they've seen Harinath, they've come to the Sunday feast, but nobody owns them. And they drift. They drift in and out. You see them in the temple sometimes, you see them away from the temple. And the difficulty now is that we have some competition. We have the Narayan Maharaj group, we have the Ritvik group, we have the Sridhar Maharaj group, we have this group, that group. About 7 or 8 different groups. And if ISKCON doesn't look after these people, someone else will be very glad to have them. Thank you very much. Now you might say, sure, that's okay. We can, you know, we can let go of a few. But if it becomes a trend, then it means that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the organization that distributes books and gives people their initial interest in Krishna consciousness. And all these other organizations are people that actually look after people. And that would be a shame. So we have to be organized in order to look after people, not just to give them their first taste. And this is the person that I would like you to become. I would like you to be someone who gives ongoing personal guidance. I would like you to be someone to discuss their questions, doubts, their expectations and struggles. And believe me, people really do struggle. I'd like you to be their friend who cares for their growth and welfare. And I'd like you to be confidential. Because if you're not confidential, you'll lose that person very easily. So it's the role of the spiritual guy. And the next... is a constant factor. In other words, we normally talk about initiation as being the big thing to happen in a person's life, where they get a spiritual guru, and the person, you know, then gets the personal tuition and everything like that, and they have a real sense of belonging because they belong to someone who's a representative of Prabhupada, etc., etc., etc. Well, let me tell you, you know, from the different persons that I've spoken to who have lots of disciples, it's very easy to slip through the net. With all best intentions, it's very easy for a person to not feel that the guru actually cares or knows or understands or is guiding. And it's just a ratio problem that we have. We don't have a guru problem in ISKCON. Sometimes people like to think of it as a guru problem. We don't have a guru problem. What we have is a ratio Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did it was he created a graded care system. I don't have a picture of it. Maybe I have a picture later on. But what he did was every disciple, and he had 10,000 disciples, every disciple would have an Upadeshika, which was a spiritual guide, spiritual instructor. Every Upadeshika would have a Maha Upadeshika. So many disciples for each Upadeshika. So many Upadeshikas would be cared for by a Maha Upadeshika. And the Maha Upadeshikas would be looked after by the sannyasis, and the sannyasis would be looked after by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. And that's how he looked after 10,000 disciples. But at ISKCON, what happens is we have guru, temple president, then disciple. You're lucky if you get more than that. Now, that would work, and it worked in the old days when everybody lived in the temple. Now, because 96% of people do not live in a temple, they don't have anybody. And it may be that their local temple president is an initiated disciple of a guru that they rejected. In the sense that I chose my Guru Maharaj and I had a choice of three, and I chose him, and I didn't choose him. Why? Because, well, I don't like him because the way he sings, I don't like him because the way he looks, or some other reason. And what happens if a temple president is initiated by a person that they kind of didn't think was so interesting? They cannot view the temple president as their spiritual guide, because he's getting his inspiration from a person that they don't really have full faith in. So what happens is that they don't have anybody. They have email. And then the poor guru gets 10,000 emails and says, well, what does he have to do? So it's a system that's not working, people are becoming spiritually weak, and people are drifting away. And this is a problem for us. So really, we need spiritual guides at every step of the way. Let's see if I've got anything else here. Yeah, so we want everybody to have, it doesn't matter what you call them, we've got tutor, mentor, in Chalpati they say counselor, in other parts of Europe they're like Shiksha Guru. But it runs right through your path in spiritual life. Doesn't mean that you have to always have the same person. The same person is your Diksha Guru. There's other person. There must always be one person in your life that can really help you. Next one. And this is what a mentor, which is a generic word for the spiritual guide, must do. He or she must guide, explain, give encouragement, must supervise, which means keep an eye on the person, must assess how they're doing, and must correct them. Now all these are functions, these are active functions, passive, that cannot be performed by a book. These functions cannot be performed by a tape. These functions cannot be performed by a website. They must be done by a person. In 99% of cases, all right, we all know the stories of devotees who have mystical experiences, and Prabhupada spoke to them from the book. But I'm taking that as an exception to the general rule, which is perceived within our movement. Next. We just put this in because sometimes we found that our devotees, they're so transcendental, they're sometimes too transcendental for their own good. They don't actually have a good foundation of morality, which is quite interesting. That's another subject, but sometimes we don't know what bad and what is good, or what to do in difficult decisions. There's no inner moral compass, but we do know how many gopis, you know, were carrying the milk for Krishna. When it gets like that, then there's a tendency for sahaja, when you don't know really how to be kind. mouth shut when you shouldn't really gossip about another person's misfortune. These are things that consistently we find displayed by devotees that really in other religious communities they wouldn't do. So really, the moral codes have to come through. And I guess, have you studied this yet? Morality? You haven't done that yet. Okay. Alright, and the next one is coming to an end now. Pastor, the mentor must ask, how is your... And these are things that have got, in one sense, nothing to do with spiritual life. Pastoral care means I'm looking after the whole person, not just your rounds, not just your reading, because that's a very important part of everything. In fact, it's the essential part. But actually, because these things can affect your rounds and your reading so much, how's your life at home? You know, how's the kids? How's your relationship with your husband? You know, I mean, it's all confidential, of course. And of course, this must be a lady asking these questions to a lady and a man asking these questions. In London now, we have about, let's say, 200 devotees and about 40 mentors, something like that. And we're just relaunching the mentorship system to an even bigger audience on Gorpani. So it means we really want to emulate Chapati, which has a good system like that. Really, you don't always get close to Radhanath Swami, for instance. You get close to a counselor, and the counselor gets close to the next one up in the chain. But there's ways in which you feel close, but the whole point here is people getting what they need. So somebody somewhere must ask these questions. How's your home life? How's it going at work? How's your health these days? How's your relationships? You make friends now that you've become a devotee? Or do you find it difficult to make friends? Have you lost a few friends? And is your life balanced between work, rest, play, pilgrimage, sadhana? Are you making money or are you losing money because you gave up the night shift in order to get up early in the mornings? How's it working for you? Somebody's got to ask them that question. Next. And we want to measure progress in the six S's. Niwa Sharanagati. Six S's. Is that five? How many? One, two, three, four, five. Okay, five S's then. Sadhana. How are they doing in the sadhana? How would you measure a person's sadhana? Give me some ideas how you measure a person's sadhana. Oh, come on. Measure means numbers. Numbers means what?
Sadhana sheet.
Sadhana sheet. Okay, that's quite disciplined. But otherwise, what do we count? Rounds, yeah. Do we count reading?
Hours of reading.
Hours of reading, or minutes in some case. And how many of those 150 verses have you read, understood? How many of them do you know in English? How do we measure time they get up in the morning? Huh? How would you do that? It's not a trick question. You'd ask them what time they got up in the morning. It's another number. So you can assess a person, you can measure their progress by numbers. Now it's not always. I know people who are chanting 16 rounds who are despicable in other areas of their life. I know men who chant 16 rounds but who beat their wives. I know people who chant 16 rounds but who are really immoral in their dealings. And hence the Dharma comes in there. People must lead a balanced life. So you cannot, you have to measure things in other ways. Seva, devotional service. How do you measure that? Or what have you done? What have you done in the temple? Are you contributing? Are you helping clean the pots? Do you help chop up vegetables? Did you do an hour of service? Something like that. So it's measurable. Of course, you've got to weave this into a conversation that makes you look like a human being. Otherwise, people think you're a robot. How many rounds have you done? How much reading have you? You might as well be on a
website with a voice activated research program or something. But we measure progress in how they're getting on in the local group. It may mean starting a local group or maintaining one or giving enthusiasm. Saying is that, are they actually sharing the joy of Krishna consciousness with other people? Do they need some encouragement to do that? And Sharanagati really means, do they have faith? Are they approaching Krishna with faith? Is Krishna becoming real for them? And there's different stages of Sharanagati, as you know, six stages. And finally, this is what I said. Okay. Next. Oh, this is the fun part. So here's my grandfather. What time did we finish? Now. 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago.
Oh, 10 minutes ago. Okay, we'll just do this part. No, we won't. I'll save that for another time. We've got tomorrow. Will we get this tomorrow? We will. Okay. Huh? Okay, all right. okay, this is 1908. This is my grandfather here, very fuzzy picture. But an army is organized in groups of 8 or 9, in platoons. Next one. Ramanujacharya created 74 groups with a preacher in each. Next. And what Chaitanya said. 5 of you, 10 of you, sit down by your houses and chant the holy names. Groups, groups, and groups. Each of the 6 Goswamis, they all had their groups. They were a group, and they all created groups. And they created an organization called the Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha. And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 500 groups. The million are still going. 130 years later, that group has been meeting every week for 130 years. How about that? That's sustainability.
Mm-hmm. So somebody
dies and somebody else will come. Oh yeah, the children. See, because people don't move away from the village. They don't move away from the village, you see, that's what. And then, I just told you about 4 layers of gurus for thousands of disciples. And then Prabhupada was once asked, how many families are there that make a good Vedic village? And there was a good community. He said 15 families. Curiously enough, this was so that 15 husbands, could actually get together and talk. Doesn't mean that all the kids were there, all the wives were there. They were, but 15 men would get together and they would trade amongst each other. That was a unit. So, Prabhupada, the movement at its height, each temple consisted of 15 people. It's a kind of a magic number. Any more than that, and psychologists and sociologists and anthropologists, they all say, any more than that, the relationships between people just break down. But 15, that's like the max that you can actually, a working relation. I mean, Jesus had how many disciples? 12 disciples? 13? So it's a good, Prabhupada. Anyway, carry on. Oh, yeah. This is the manor on Sunday. This is how many people we get. Oh, this is, I was just trying to explain to the devotees of the manor. This is how many people we get on a Sunday. 1,200 people come to the Sunday feast. And out of them, only 400 are actually have a bead bag and are not afraid to use it. Yeah. So 400, wow, 400, that's good, but we have a lot of people here. And the number of teachers that are available to preach to these people to get them to be here or to even speak to these people, is the ratio is almost impossible. So what we need is these people here.
practitioners to each take a few of these people. Otherwise, we have an impossible ratio if we have these people trying to deal with all of them. So the whole point is how to deal with numbers. And here's the inside of a cell. Trying to explain that this comes like a cell. Okay, we'll stop there because then we start going into something else. And I need this to brighten up tomorrow's afternoon as well. Right. Thank you very, very much for listening. And I will see you tomorrow. So did you all get something from that PowerPoint? Something from all those pictures?